Now we're going to have our first Bible reading, which is from St. John's Gospel, and we're going to have a look at what happened on that first Easter morning. So if Stephen comes to do the reading, and all those people who are in the first scene, just come up to the front now, ready to act your parts.
The reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, on page 144, the New Testament section of the Church Bibles, if you have one. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. The empty tomb, and Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen wrappings, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight to the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth which had been round Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." Then she turned round and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me, where have you put him? And I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," This means teacher. Do not hold on to me, Jesus told her, because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God. So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her.
Thank you very much, all of those people. Now, that was Easter Sunday morning, and the next reading and the next scene that we're going to have happened later that same day, when some of the disciples and people who'd known Jesus were walking to Emmaus. So Glynis is going to come and do the reading, and I hope we have the other people in position there.
The second reading is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 13 to 33, and it's on page 114 of the Pew Bibles. The Walk to Emmaus. On the same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 11 kilometres from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. As they talked and discussed, Jesus himself drew near and walked along with them. They saw him, but somehow didn't recognize him. Jesus said to them, "What are you talking about to each other as you walk along?" They stood still with sad faces. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening there these last few days?" "What things?" he asked. "The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. "This man was a prophet and was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. And we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. Besides all that, this is now the third day it happened. Some of the women of our group surprised us. They went at dawn to the tomb, but could not find his body. They came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some of our group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are! How slow you are to believe everything the prophets said! Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory?" And Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in the scriptures, beginning with the book of Moses and the writings of all the prophets. And then they came near to the village to which they were going. Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they held him back, saying, "Stay with us. The day is almost over and it is getting dark." So they went to stay with them. He sat down to eat with them, took the bread and said a blessing. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Wasn't it like a fire burning in us when he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" They got up at once and went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples gathered together with the others.
Now, in our service so far, we've heard some stories about what happened on that first Easter Sunday. Luke, in his gospel, tells us a bit more about what happened when the people went to the tomb. And he tells us that the angels at the tomb asked the people who went to look this question. And this was the question: "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for one who is dead and who is alive?" I expect those people thought that this was a strange question, because as far as they knew, they were after all looking for a dead body. They weren't looking for somebody who was alive. They'd all seen Jesus die on Friday, and they expected to find his body in the tomb on Sunday morning. After all, we know dead bodies don't get up and walk away over the weekend. But on that first Easter morning, all the people who went to the tomb went to check that the body had been properly buried. But we know also that by the end of that day, everything had changed completely. They changed from people who were crying and sad and worried and confused to people who were amazed and excited and really happy. So what made that big difference? Well, we're going to call back now some of those people who were there on Easter Day and ask them a bit more about what happened on that first Easter Day and how they felt about it. So, first of all, I'm going to ask Mary Magdalene to come back. Well, Mary, you went to the tomb very early on Sunday morning. It was still dark. So why were you so keen to go?
Well, I was very upset about what had happened to Jesus. He was a good friend to me, and I knew that he didn't deserve to die like a criminal. I thought that the least I could do was to make sure that everything was okay, done properly, for his burial. I wanted to take some extra spices and to make sure that his body was wrapped well and the tomb was okay. After all that Jesus had done for me, I could at least do that much for him, to show that I really cared.
That's good. And did you get a shock when you saw the tomb?
Yes, I thought I would be the first person to visit the tomb. So I was very surprised to find that the stone had been moved away. I had been wondering how I could possibly get into the tomb myself, but then I found that I need not have worried at all. The tomb was open. And then came the real shock. It was empty. I was so upset because I thought that someone had stolen the body. Why would anyone want to do anything like that, I wondered.
Well, after you told the disciples and you'd shown them the empty tomb, why didn't you go back with them then? Why did you stay behind in the garden?
I was really upset about everything. I just couldn't understand what was happening. That's why I asked the gardener who had taken Jesus' body away and where they had put it. At least I presumed that he was the gardener. I didn't expect to see anyone else wandering around in the garden at that time of day.
And what made you realize that it was actually Jesus who you were talking to?
Well, there was something about the way he spoke to me. He called me Mary just as he always did. It gave me quite a shock, I can tell you. After all, I didn't expect Jesus to be walking in the garden, did I? Then, as usual, he knew what had to be done. He told me not to touch him, but to go and tell the disciples that I had actually seen him and talked to him. It was all so amazing. but I did as he asked. It was such exciting news. Jesus was really alive, and I knew for sure because I had seen him and talked to him myself. What a wonderful day that was.
Thank you. It certainly was a wonderful day. Thank you very much, Mary. Now, let's call back one of the Roman soldiers who was on duty over that weekend. Were you there when Jesus was crucified, sir?
Yes. Yes, I was on duty that day, and it was part of my job to make sure that the crucifixion was done properly. We Romans are used to that kind of punishment for criminals. But, you know, Jesus was different. We could see that he wasn't like the other men that we usually deal with. In fact, one of the soldiers said what we were all thinking. Surely this man was a good man.
And what happened then after Jesus died?
His body was taken down from the cross, wrapped up, and put in a tomb in the garden. To make quite sure that everything was safe and done properly, a big stone was rolled across the entrance to the tomb, and then I was told to stay on guard all night.
So you were still there on duty on Sunday morning. Were you surprised about everything that happened then?
Well, it was very strange. I didn't notice anything unusual during the night. The garden was quite empty because everyone had gone home. But somehow, when we looked on Sunday morning, the stone had been moved. Then we all got a shock when people started to arrive and went into the tomb and saw that it was empty. The body that I'd been guarding just wasn't there. I couldn't explain what had happened, and I was very worried that I'd be punished for falling asleep on duty. But now that so many people have all seen Jesus alive, I don't think they can blame me. After all, I can't be responsible for someone rising from the dead, can I? There was something a lot more powerful than me going on in that tomb.
I'm sure there was, and I'm sure you did your job well. Thank you very much. Let's see what Peter remembers of that special day. Peter, I expect you had quite a surprise when Mary came rushing from the garden to find you and told you that the tomb was empty. What did you think when she told you that somebody had taken Jesus' body away?
Well, you know, it was still really early on Sunday morning, and it had been a very busy and pretty awful weekend. I could hardly believe anything that else could have happened. Mary was very upset, of course, like we all were. And I really thought she must have got the story wrong. I mean, she was just one of women, and women are more emotional. They do get upset and mixed up sometimes, don't they? Anyway, I thought that I'd got better go and see for myself what was going on. So I got one of the other disciples to come with me, and we dashed off to go and have a look.
And what did you think when you saw for yourself that the tomb was really empty and the women had been quite right?
Well, we got an awful shock and started to try to work out what might have happened. Being me, I went straight in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but no body. I didn't think that anyone had stolen the body. If that is what they had done, why bother to unwrap it first? Then my friend got very excited and started to remind me some of the stories that Jesus had told us while he was still with us. Had he said that something special was going to take place after 3 days? Maybe this was the third day that Jesus had talked about. We talked about it, but still didn't really understand. Mary was quite right. The tomb certainly was empty. But how? Why? What was going on?
Well, now that was a little while ago, do you think you understand any better now?
Oh yes, now I certainly do. On Sunday evening, most of us disciples were talking about everything that had happened, still trying to understand. We were together in one room and had actually locked the door, just to be on the safe side. And suddenly, Jesus was right there in the room with us. We saw him with our own eyes. He even showed us the nail marks from the crucifixion. We were so excited and happy. He really was alive, not dead at all. And as he talked to us, we finally began to understand that what had happened was what he had already explained to us several times. Suddenly we understood. It was when I met Jesus myself that I really knew for sure that he had risen from the dead.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. We'll call back one last witness there, and that's Cleopas, who met Jesus unexpectedly that last evening on the road. It sounds as though you and your friends had a good chat, Cleopas, with the stranger who was walking along the road with you to Emmaus. Who did you think that stranger was?
Well, we really had no idea who he was. What was surprising about him was that he had a lot of interesting ideas to share with us. He seemed to know all about the prophets and the scriptures. But on the other hand, he didn't seem to know anything about what's going on in Jerusalem. That's why we asked him if he was a visitor. After all, everyone in Jerusalem knew about Jesus and the crucifixion. We were still feeling upset and confused about it ourselves. Of course, we never thought for a minute that there was any chance of us seeing Jesus walking along the road. After all, we'd seen him die, and we were there when the body was taken down from the cross and buried.
So what made you think that the stranger really was Jesus then?
Well, I mean, by the time we got to Emmaus, it was getting dark, so we invited the stranger in with us for the night. It was then he started to eat together. You know, something about the way in which he picked up the bread, thanked God, then broke the loaf and passed bits to use. I guess it was just the way that Jesus had always done it. We had seen him share bread like this many times before. Suddenly we recognised his voice too. Then there was his hands. You know, his hands had just gone through a lot with the crucifixion. It was almost as if the light had just been switched on. It was that moment we knew that it was Jesus himself with us. And we were so excited that as soon as he had disappeared, we went all the way back to Jerusalem, all 7 miles, as fast as we could, to tell his disciples we had seen the Lord.
Before you left Jerusalem, you'd already heard stories about the empty tomb and the angels who said that Jesus was alive, but you still weren't expecting to see him for yourself. After all, you walked all the way to Emmaus without realizing who was walking with you. So what did finally convince you that Jesus was there with you alive?
It certainly wasn't the stories that we had heard from all the women, and even the empty tomb. They just sounded impossible. A lot of strange rumours were flying around. No one made any 100% that Jesus was alive, and the fact that we had seen him with our own eyes, and we had talked to him and eaten with him, that's why we were sure he was alive.
Thank you. Well, now we've listened to their stories, and I think we can see why those people were quite sure that Jesus was alive. What made them so completely sure? Well, it wasn't the empty tomb, was it? It was the fact that they had met Jesus for themselves. They'd seen him, talked to him, eaten with him. They knew he was a real live person. It was that personal meeting with Jesus that made all the difference. And I think the same thing can be very true for us today. Even if we hear stories about Jesus or read about him, watch films or DVDs, or we hear about him from parents and friends, it's not until we really come to meet him for ourselves that we can be certain that Jesus is alive, and that he loves us and cares for us and cares what happens in our lives and how we live. After the first Easter Sunday, It was when the disciples started to look for Jesus in the right place that they actually found him. When they were doing their ordinary work, they lived their normal lives, and they discovered that Jesus could suddenly be there, even in a room when the door was locked. On the road, walking along, later on the beach when they'd been fishing, he would talk with them, eat with them, teach them, explain things to them, just as he had done before. And as this happened, they gradually got used to the idea that Jesus was with them, whether they could actually see him or not. That didn't matter. They knew for certain that he was alive. They received his power. They went out to tell the world about it. In fact, they made such a good job of doing that that even here in Enfield, over 2,000 years later, we've heard the story too. So let's make this Easter a special time for all of us, just as it was for Jesus' first friends and followers. A special time because it was a time when we meet Jesus again in our lives today. And then we know his risen presence with us today and with us always.